Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Ready to get to work, Eve?
I'm ready to get to work. 10 o'clock sharp. 10:06, but I'm still ready to get to work. I've been ready for work.
Ready all morning for work.
I'll blame myself in part for that.
Yeah, what the hell was that? No,
it was,
but
it was a late. It was a long crossover.
It's good stuff.
I was a little slow working my way down the hall.
All right. Take your
time.
They
were waiting for me.
Yeah. Where's Jones?
We got to talk to Jones.
Down.
You know the whole thing. I mean, you can let me know earlier. I mean, you can do that.
I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
You're ready to get to work.
I was born ready. Ready to get to work.
I don't think we have much choice.
There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. What'd you think of Vrabel? Just
the new sheriff, the old sheriff.
Before we give you any clips from Vrabel today, I just gave some takeaways there in the crossover. What'd you think?
Yeah. I like him. I think, and I'm not surprised because, you know, we've heard him do plenty of interviews. If you followed him even a little bit in Tennessee, you saw plenty of, you know, post-game press conferences and all those things, whether it was just games against the Patriots or other nationally televised games. So I like Mike Vrabel. My biggest question with him and with the team going forward is the offensive coordinator, who's going to be working closely with Drake May, and that's TBD. Like, we'll see, and we'll be able to celebrate that, rip that, question that, whatever, when the time comes. But just the figurehead head coach, Mike Vrabel's great. I was even saying that before. Like, I wanted Ben Johnson because of, like, this offensive creativity and, like, unlocking the most potential in Drake May. But even while we were saying that, the whole buildup, the whole personality of Mike Vrabel, I think, is a great fit. It's not full Bill Belichick. It's not Gerard Mayo. It's like he's his own guy, a little bit of a hard ass, sure, but I think he can relate to the players because he's not too old. He's not too young. Like, he kind of is the perfect head coach in that sense. Doesn't mean his staff is going to be perfect. Doesn't mean the front office is going to be perfect. But Mike Vrabel, I like quite a bit.
So I think you've gotten already between his press conference and then the sit down today with Greg Hill and even some of the one-on-one he had with Tommy Curran. We're going to play you a clip from that coming up. Wiggy just referenced it in the crossover. Tom Curran going to join us on a Tommy Tuesday, by the way, at high noon. So we'll get to some of his takeaways on that with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. Phone number and text line to get in touch here with Jones and Keefe. Lines are open, so you can start dialing us up on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can follow along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can watch there. You can chat there and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. I think already you're hearing some answers from Vrabel that gets you to want to, you know, quote unquote, run through a wall.
Sure.
Like, you get a few of those. I saw a bunch of texts during the press conference yesterday while we were sitting here listening to it. You know, texts were coming in, Twitch chat.
He was pretty unanimous that it was good.
Yeah.
Right?
And I know players said they were ready to run through a wall for Mayo last year. I don't know how many of those answers you really got. I thought he gave a great answer about coaching players up and great players want to be told how they need to improve and average players come in and collect a check and they want to eat for free and all this stuff. Like, I thought it was a good answer. And I thought the answer yesterday about banners and, you know, Tom Brady or rather playing for Bill Belichick, it's interesting. It's interesting.
It is.
But does it really matter, and is it relevant to coaching this team? I think he's given some wonderful answers. But I am curious about the same things you are.
Yep.
Who's this personnel guy? He's hiring Ryan Cowden. And
there's a lot of Wolf talk, though, once again today. I think the first real answer today was Elliot Wolf.
I think there were two names he mentioned immediately. One was Fourier. He was clowning on Fourier about stealing all his touchdowns.
Yeah, he dunked on Fourier first, but then like the first real question and answer involved
Elliott. The first real name he said today was Elliott Wolf, I believe unprompted. Okay, so I still don't love that. There were six yesterday in his press conference, six references to Wolf. Many, he wasn't even asked about Elliott Wolf directly. He just kind of brought him up. Oh, me and Elliott and I, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't love that. I think the door's open on Josh McDaniels. That one doesn't sound done. Reading between the lines on Vrabel.
Sure. Yep.
But let's play a few clips here. And there was an extended interview with the Greg Hill Show. If you haven't heard it, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. This answer, and just know he referenced Elliott Wolf indirectly a lot. This answer to Tommy Curran, the one-on-one that he did yesterday after the press conference, this is eye-opening, and I heard what Chris just said. I've heard a lot of other media members saying, yeah, well, you know, and you might even feel this way, Keith. Wolf is here for now, but he's hiring his guy, Ryan Cowden, and, well, you know, let's see what happens once he actually gets here. Listen to this answer, because there's a lot of excuse-making for Elliott Wolf. Not just, oh, yeah, I'm working with him and meeting with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of excuse-making for Elliott Wolf to Tommy Curran.
You know, I haven't talked to Elliott, I think that, and getting to know him through the interview process and then, you know, some over the weekend, you know, there were some things that maybe didn't allow him to completely invest in personnel.
Okay,
and
stop.
I'm not going to be able to.
What?
Well, do you think they spent a lot of money?
Okay, so Vrabel's coming in and taking shots at the crafts right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. I mean, think maybe he is.
Wow.
I think he might be.
I mean, I've made that excuse for Wolf before, as have you. When we were talking about who's safer and who's better at their job, Wolf or Mayo, it's like Mayo was an F-, Wolf was an F. It's a slight check mark for Wolf because was he really allowed to spend? I mean, that's what Vrabel just said.
And I feel the same way. I feel like Wolf's free agency can be a little bit explained away. His draft cannot. His draft has nothing to do with that. Like, he effed up the draft. That's on him. Free agency, I don't know. He got a couple of guys that can play. He got a bunch of guys who can't play, but he also wasn't really allowed to spend much money.
Right.
So that's what Vrabel's saying there.
Right. Elliott Wolf, you're to blame for Chukwuma Okorafor and KJ Osborne.
Yeah.
But Robert Kraft, you're to blame that they had to slum for Chukwuma Okorafor and KJ Osborne.
Definitely.
So Vrabel comes right out and goes, yeah, I don't really know that Elliott had the what was the word he used there again? He didn't have the full
allow him to completely invest in personnel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. So there's that. Keep going.
They weren't exactly burning cash, as the previous coach said.
No, that's true.
We're not.
More excuses though. Right. Vrabel's not done. He's gonna make more excuses for Wolf.
And I'm not gonna be able to watch every player. I'm not gonna be able to watch as many players as they will. And I'm excited about them being able to consolidate that, to get me the players, to get me in front of the players that we need to identify and evaluate, and allow me to coach the football team and then, you know, come together with a shared vision about who can help us. And then, you know, part of that is also developing them. I mentioned that. I believe in that, teaching them, developing them, and then inspiring them, you know, through a connection. So, whatever they've done, you know, whatever they did last year, that was last year. And we're going to give them an opportunity to prove their value this year to the football team.
Okay.
So how I actually view that, too, is he is giving Elliott Wolf some excuses. But what he's also saying is that job is more than a full-time job. My job is more than a full-time job. I can't take that full job on. I think it's going to be closer to Belichick in the sense that, hey, Elliott, you do all the busy work. Narrow it down to 20 wide receivers in college. You and your scouts find 20 wide receivers. I'll take a look at that. I'm not going to look at 200 of them. I'll look at 20 of them that you give me, and then I'll pick the best one. Or you give me the best defensive players, and you do that, and I'll pick the best one. I don't think Vrabel would put himself in a situation like he had in Tennessee where they traded away one of his best players after he told that player he would not be traded. I don't think he would step back into a place where he goes in, he's like, I want Abdul Carter at 4, and Wolf says no. I think he's going to overrule Wolf, but somebody does need to do a lot of, like, because he says that line about, you know, there's this process, and I want to get the players in front of me kind of thing, where it's like, you whittle it down, and then I'll make the final decision.
Fair.
Which is also what I'm hoping for, maybe.
But Wolf's, okay, I think you're probably right about big free agents and the number 4 pick.
Yeah.
Vrabel's going to have big input on that. What about second and third rounders? What about fifth, sixth, seventh rounders? Like, what? And you can say Vrabel's going to have input on the biggest thing. Okay, the coach should.
Maybe second and third rounders. Yeah, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh might be his guys bringing in Wolf. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be his guy he's bringing in based on some of these answers. I really hope I'm wrong about that. A lot of people have told me I'm wrong about that. Elliot Wolf's just here to, you know, carry out any processes until they bring in new people. Fine. Okay. Other teams have fired their GMs. He's still here. And now Vrabel's making excuses for him. That's a new level to it. And we can get into some of the reporting from Phil Perry, reporting from Mike Garofolo and whomever else at the national level. It was Garofolo and somebody else yesterday.
Pelissero?
No, and Burt Breer.
Oh, Breer.
Burt Breer both said that Ryan Cowden's coming in to be the number two to Elliot Wolf.
Who does number two work for? That's what I want to know.
So here's what Phil wrote. He said, what's a little more muddy is how the front office is going to be handled now that Vrabel is officially on board. Elliot Wolf was in attendance at Vrabel's introductory press conference on Monday. As was Matt Groh. Oh, yeah, good. He's still here.
Oh, Matt Groh?
And several members of last year's personnel department.
All right.
Wolf was mentioned by Vrabel more than once, unprompted, during the proceedings. That was yesterday. No, again, on Greg's show today, he did it at least three times.
Now, what's also been pointed out, and rightfully so, is last year, around this time at Mayo's press conference, there was a variety of people on the staff and players in attendance, including Mac Jones.
Yep.
Who was not on the team at the start of the year. So just because you're in attendance, whether you're a front office guy, coach, or player, I don't think means it's a lock that you're going to be a part of the team this season.
I think that's totally fair. Like, Matt Groh, to me, feels like he's kind of there and there's maybe no role for him.
Yeah.
Well, he's out there making excuses for all these guys, or for Wolf. Not for everybody, but for Wolf.
It's also interesting that they were never a fan, or Belichick was never a fan of titles. And then when Belichick left, they gave titles to all the coaches. And however, in the front office, they have these, like, weird titles that aren't, there's no GM, right? There's no general manager
on
the team.
The Crafts have never given out the title of GM.
Which
never.
Is strange, but you can also now keep Elliot Wolf, and we might not even know from the outside whether his power has grown, stayed the same, or diminished.
It's true.
Because he got the same title. It's like, all right, whatever the hell that means.
Keep the same title, and your actual, you know, pull within the room is less.
Could be.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Phil says, does that mean Vrabel's open to a long-term arranged marriage with Wolf as the leader of the personnel department? Does it mean Wolf is still the number one decision maker on that side of the building until a later date, say after the draft, when Vrabel can insert someone he knows on a deeper level, i.e. Ryan Cowden? It's my understanding, says Phil, that Kraft has been impressed by the new system Wolf tried to import last year. I still don't get this. And he's hopeful that system will bear more fruit with additional time. It's going to be hard to bear less than last year's draft.
They did get two quarterbacks.
True. What are you impressed by? I guess he does like Joe Milton. We know that. We're all impressed with May. That one didn't feel that hard, but Milton, I guess you give him some credit. Based on Vrabel's commentary in his first full day on the job, it sounds like he's at least at the moment open to the idea of Wolf's input. How long the union lasts with Wolf and what kind of results they produce are now key questions hovering over the franchise. The answers to be determined. So Phil Perry, Charles Robinson, Burt Breer, Mike Garofolo, they all think Wolf is going to stay on and have real power. And so I'm choosing not to ignore that, but I hope they're wrong. And I hope I'm wrong about it. I hope I'm right about this, Keith. Listen to this exchange on Josh McDaniels. Okay, it's a Rorschach test. You can see it either way, I would guess.
Okay.
Listen to this. Does this sound like a guy who wants to hire Josh McDaniels
or a
guy who sounds indifferent about it or being forced into doing it?
Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at every possible candidate that I feel like can help us. And we're going to start that process today, this afternoon, and visit with some great coaches. And then we'll see where things go. And that's on all three phases.
Is he on the list?
It's a long list.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a long list. And I've had a relationship with Josh, and I've had relationships with other offensive coaches and defensive coaches that we're going to interview and want to bring in here.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I would view it as he could get it, but I wouldn't put the odds at super high.
That he sounded very lukewarm about McDaniels. Almost
like
I'm doing the interview because Robert wants me to do it. I'll do it, but it's a long list. And
which is good, because if you think the Vrabel hire is not creative, even though it might end up being a great hire, and I like him, but if you're like, all right, that's sort of the obvious one. I mean, if they bring Josh McDaniels back for the third time, like, come on, we can't shoot higher than that.
I'll ask the question again. Josh McDaniels never getting a head job again.
No.
Is he going to get an offensive coordinator job? Is anybody else going to hire him as offensive coordinator?
How does he like the ACC?
In the NFL.
Oh, the NFL?
Is anybody else going to hire him?
No, and honestly,
I don't think so either. So what? Why is he at the top of your list, Robert, or whoever
else?
No,
he shouldn't be at the top of your list. But shouldn't he get an OC job somewhere?
I wouldn't hire him.
No, I know. But like, I look at a lot of failed head coaches and say, you know what? You're just a coordinator. And I say that all the time. Remember I was saying, you could bring the Flus in here and have him, you know, coach up the defense.
Yeah.
You don't want him to be anywhere near your head coach, but somebody like McDaniels, I think, maybe could be an offensive coordinator somewhere. Now, the problem is that position in particular, it seems like everyone's going for like the next hotshot, young gun, 1 year as a passing coordinator, 1 year as a QB coach, and then you take him. So even though Josh McDaniels is young in like real world life, maybe for like an offensive coach, they're like, ah, we've kind of already seen it.
Too toxic, not interested, and yeah. It sounds like Mike Vrabel agrees.
Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to...
I mean, that does not sound like Gronk. I mean, yeah, maybe...
Good advice, Gronk.
Trying to throw everybody off the scent. Yeah, maybe the Gronk thing threw him off. That's a good call.
I know.
But I don't know. That doesn't sound like a guy who's hiring Josh McDaniels, which I'd say, good. So yeah. I hope I'm right about that. I hope I'm wrong about the Wolf stuff. But those are my two big takeaways. He keeps bringing up Elliott Wolf's name.
Too much
for my taste.
Or too much. Or so much so that you're like, he knows that he can body bag this guy anytime he wants.
Yeah,
he's going to have final say.
I hope you're right,
Keith. That's my hope.
But I would say the good thing, I don't feel good about the Wolf news.
Yeah.
The good thing is, I don't think McDaniels is going to be his OC. Now, who is it? Is it going to be...
Touchdown Tommy Rees. I don't want that.
Tommy Rees, I don't want. Tim Kelly is a name that Mike Rees brought up today. So Tim Kelly, who was one of his OCs in Tennessee.
I'd rather have Chip Kelly. Charlie Kelly.
It was Tim Kelly, who, again, is with the Giants right now. Tommy Rees with the Browns. McDaniels was on the list. Talk to me more about Dave Ragone. Is that his name?
Dave Ragone, the old quarterback?
Yeah, from Louisville. Rams quarterback coach. He's working with McVay right now. He was with Vrabel in Tennessee. Talk to me more about that guy.
Tim Kelly went...
Josh McCown. Talk to me more about Josh McCown. Like, those names interest me more.
Tim Kelly went to Eastern Illinois, which isn't that the... Is that the Garoppolo-Tony Romo school? Eastern Illinois? I think that's where Garoppolo Tony Romo went.
That's right.
Where this guy Tim Kelly went. And so he's been a coordinator in the league. He was a coordinator with Houston. He was a coordinator in Tennessee. And then he was just this year the tight ends coach for New York Giants.
Great. So, you know, am I gung-ho about that name? Not so much. Did you listen to Mike Vrabel this morning? What were your takeaways? I know you heard some of his answers yesterday. We played him here live. Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel, the working relationship with Elliott Wolf. Who is he bringing in as his OC? Who do you want him to bring in as his OC? And who's really calling the shots here in New England? We'll get into it. Plus, how does Mike Vrabel maximize Drake May and his potential?
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
I'm always going to be honest with the player. They may disagree, but I'm also going to listen to them. I'm going to listen with the intent to understand them and not listen with the intent to respond. But I'm also going to treat them the same way they treat the team. And if they treat the team really well, I'll be willing to listen to anything that they have to say, any suggestions. If they don't treat the team very well, if they don't, you know, if they're not on time or they're not in shape or they don't play hard or they don't study or they're disrespectful to somebody in the support staff, hopefully they're not here long, but if they are, I don't have much to say to them, or not really going to take their input. So, like you mentioned, I think the biggest thing is that average players want to be left alone. They want to come in, they want to pick up their check, they want to eat for free and go home. Good players want to be coached, and great players want to be told the truth. And every great player that I've been able to coach in the past 6 years
has always come and said, what do I need to do to be better? What do I need to do to be great? And you tell them, and then they seek the truth, and then their job is to then handle the truth.
I like that answer from Mike Vrabel. I don't really know what it means going forward. You know, I don't think he said anything like Jerod Mayo burn some cash or anything. I guarantee we're going to win more games than next year.
No, it's like, you like that answer? I like kind of like most answers. Like, yeah. There's not one that sticks out to you. We're like, oh, what the hell?
Well, I like that. It's like average players come in, they want a free meal, and they want to collect a check. You know, good players come in and they want to be coached, aggressively, coached hard. And the really great ones, they say, what can I do to improve?
Yeah.
They listen, they take it to heart, they go out there and do it. And I think that's a good answer, and I thought Chris Curtis had a good analogy to listening to Vrabel. It's like he's a steady hand compared to Mayo, where Mayo would say a few entertaining things, especially early on before the losses started piling up, burn some cash, and, well, put me on the record. I'm going to win more than four games next year.
Yeah.
And he threw all those things out there. I mean, Vrabel's been through, and this is scoring one for people who say he understands the job. It's not new to him. And, you know, Curtis made the reference, it's like a pilot dealing with a little turbulence. It's like you freak out on the plane because who wants to feel turbulence? But the pilot's been through it 8 million times.
Yeah.
That's Vrabel. You're not going to throw him any curveballs. You're not going to shake him up.
Can't imagine he walks too many things back the next day.
No, Mayo got shaken up every interview he did.
Yeah, and every single one of them.
I thought that was, again, a good answer. Now, he's got to actually go get wins.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to translate it. But I thought that sort of stuff checked out, and he didn't step in it at all.
Yeah, and this isn't revisionist history on Mayo, because I think when we heard his first interview with Greg's show, we were like excited. I admittedly was excited. I'm like, they're going to burn cash.
Me too.
Like, they're going to spend money. He's saying they're going to spend money, so they're going to spend money. And he's guaranteeing more than four wins. We'll see. Like, I didn't think they had a lot of talent at that point, so you're like, we'll see about that. But you're like, maybe this will be a change. Maybe this will be like a 2021 free agency class. And then it wasn't. And
then he burned some cash.
But then he walked that back soon.
That was
and
his
then,
first walk back, right? I was just going to ask that. That was
and you're
his
like,
first walk back.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, his first interview, he already got a talking to.
Yep.
He already got called to the principal's office. It was like, you can't say that. You're not going to get that with Vrabel. And so that's an easy positive one. Another one I really liked was,
hang on, real quick. We're not going to get that from Vrabel. Vrabel just said Elliot Wolf didn't have all the research. You don't think he's going to get a talking to on that one?
Oh, I mean walkbacks. I meant walkbacks.
Oh,
maybe they're like, hey, can you ease up on it? But I don't think he's going to come on the next time he's on Greg's show
and be like, hey, I said that.
Yeah,
what I
that
meant
wasn't
was
fair to.
Right.
No, he'll just keep pushing forward.
I see what you're saying. He'll get talking to here and there, but he's not going to walk it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's probably a little bit easier to approach Mayo than it is to Vrabel, right? Like, what are the
you said it, I didn't.
Yeah. You're like, all right, bud. You're like, knock it off. Like, you're lucky to have this job. Whereas, like, and this is the opposite where, like, the Patriots are kind of lucky to have Vrabel. Last year, Mayo was, to have a head coaching job at the NFL with that lack of experience, like, that was a lucky spot. Another thing I like from Vrabel, and this might be somewhat obvious to good coaches, but maybe not to all coaches, is you can't just have one coaching style for every type of player.
Yep.
Because one of the questions now is, the college kids today are a much different breed of college kid than years before with NIL and just everything. Every generation's a little bit different. And I like that line about, listen, I might have to coach Wiggy different than I'd coach Greg. And Greg's like, I need to be Connell.
I need to be
Connell.
That's
a good line.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, you can't go through. And that's why I hate those, everybody's the same. They're not. Drake May, greater than rest of the team.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how it is. Now, you don't want to just, like, put the guy on a pedestal the whole time and all that. You still got to coach him hard. But I like that he knows there's going to be a different approach for, I don't know, a guy like A.J. Brown versus maybe somebody like David Andrews or somebody like, you know, Christian Barmore or whatever else.
You mentioned A.J. Brown. I mean, he was prompted, but
he loves him.
He mentioned A.J. Brown by name today.
He loves him. I think he's getting him.
think so?
That's my guy. Yeah, they're gonna trade for him. Dude's reading books on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You think he wants to be with the Eagles?
No.
No, I don't.
No, I believe. You know what? Yeah. I believe the reporting there that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown used to be best friends, and now they're not. That can't happen. Falling outs with best friends can't happen.
No, it can't. Go to Instagram. There might be a bunch of pictures of them together proving that they're best buds.
I happen to believe the reporting.
We went to a wedding once together. There's a documented proof. Wolves don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep. Even though I'm the wolf in this case, and I'm very, very worried about it.
I know. So now I've lost track of what we're even talking about.
We're talking about A.J. Brown.
Yes.
I think they can get him. Would you trade the second round pick for A.J. Brown? In a second.
Yeah.
And you know Vrabel would. Vrabel might also get slapped with some sort of tampering. I don't know if you can talk about the player that way, which I'm open for. I like it, but I don't know. Usually he's on a team currently playing right now.
Talking indirectly about a player, usually okay. When you start mentioning by name, not that we're trying to get anybody in trouble, but
not at all.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little slap on the wrist for that.
He did coach him.
Yeah.
And he says like he's like loves him and like they still talk, so I mean, you can't prevent them from talking. I don't know. It's weird. And then we started talking off the air about, you know, Tom Brady doing the Lions game this weekend and like how that's going to go. Can he hype up Ben Johnson? I don't know. It's very strange.
No.
The whole thing.
I mean, Brady, the whole thing with Brady is a mess anyway.
That's why I don't think he's doing games next year.
Giant conflict of interest. And right, he probably won't be doing games, A, because he shouldn't based on the conflict of interest, and B, because he's bad at it.
Not to go on a whole Brady tangent, but him doing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And if the Raiders haven't hired a coach yet,
yeah,
and there's like maybe even two candidates playing in that game, can he even say anything? Like, he can't meet with them. Like, how restricted is he going to be? He's probably going to be even worse than normal because he's probably going to be nervous about what he can and can't say. And then you only have like 200 million people watching or whatever.
Not to keep going on a Brady.
Go ahead.
But did you hear Mad Dog, his criticism of Brady?
No.
He says he thinks he talks too much.
Oh, I've noticed it the other way.
I think it's the complete opposite.
I feel like he like lets it breathe and then some.
It's like, hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Earth to Tom.
Yeah.
You can talk here, guy.
I don't remember that.
So maybe that was the case in the Packers game this weekend, Packers-Eagles, but I think Brady needs to talk more than he talks.
Yeah.
I mean, pop me kettle when it comes to me. I talk plenty. But I think Brady needs to talk more on those broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's not how you do football.
Conflict of interest there. That was the gist of what he said.
Yeah.
Conflict of interest there. And yeah, I mean, if Vrabel gets slapped, I don't think they lose a draft pick or anything.
No, nothing like that.
Vrabel might get a talking to about, hey, can you not bring up A.J. Brown by name?
But if we get him,
keep your mouth shut.
I think that's going to be the guy.
Okay, so Elliot Wolf's name brought up a ton.
Sure did.
Josh McDaniels, he seemed very lukewarm about. How do you get the most out of Drake May? We can get into it with all your phone calls here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. Let's start it off with Sorja in Mansfield. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones and Keefe, how are we today?
Doing great.
Really quick here. I think you have to be impressed with Mike Vrabel so far. Like everyone's been saying, he brings instant credibility, and the interview was great. You're just worried about the pieces around him, the OCDC, and I just don't understand why Elliot Wolf is in this picture at all. You look at his drafting from last year and his off season, and I just hope that the class realizes that you need a demarcation, an actual GM, and not create a power vacuum that they're creating right now.
So I agree with Sorja on that, but listen to Mike Vrabel. He'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't allowed to spend in free agency, and the coaching staff didn't develop Elliott's players. I mean, that's what Vrabel said to Tom Curran about Elliot Wolf.
Because you propped him up a little bit as a shield, and you're the one that's making the players, but when you have sort of a vagueness as to who's really in charge, the number four pick, if they hit on it, well, they can all deserve credit. If they miss on it, who's to blame? We don't really know.
Right.
Is it Elliot? Is it this new guy? Is it Abdul Vrabel?
Carter is a bust.
Right.
At four.
Who do you blame? We don't really know.
You can scapegoat Elliot Wolf.
I mean, I don't know. I just think he accepted the job. It's one thing if Vrabel had no other opportunities. I feel like he could have waited it out, maybe got the Cowboys job, maybe got the Raiders job, maybe got the Jets job. Like, I think he could have had other jobs. If this was his only job, like Mayo last year, Mayo was going to be forced to listen to whoever.
Yeah, he had no leverage.
No choice.
Yeah.
I think Vrabel's got much more of a leg to stand on, so Elliot Wolf is here for now, but I don't think it's a guaranteed long haul.
Tim and Brockton, go ahead.
So, they want to bring Vrabel in to say that, oh, the players are going to respect the coaching staff and then the staff. If they don't, they're out of here. So I want to know, are the coaching staff out of there if they disrespect the players? Because it seems they're just bringing in a person to set a discipline and discipline the players in like a hard-o. And it just seems like he's just here worrying about catering to the coaching staff and ownership
Tim, I thought this was interesting from him. He referenced it this morning with Greg and yesterday in his press conference. We got to get rid of the entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And this echoes some of what Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide had in the Boston Herald, where, you know, players just... How many times does he reference guys being late and guys being rude to support staff, again, yesterday and today? And so I think there probably was a real issue with culture and players buying in, and Mayo gave the players a lot of power, and, you know, he gave them an inch, they took a mile. And so I think Vrabel's here to walk some of that back. And I think him referencing that over and over and over again is a nod to how bad it was with the players last year. I don't think they were on time. I don't think they were polite. I don't think they were listening.
Sometimes they just got to know their place.
Jelani Tavai, front of the list.
I don't think that guy's going to be here. I mean, they have a lot to clean house. I mean, they have a lot of guys under contract. Elliott Wolf did a great job at re-signing all the guys that were on the previous four-win team.
Such a good job.
So they have a pile of guys that were on back-to-back four-win teams. And that's why I do think it was pretty funny when Vrabel was asked about what kind of players he wants. And he's like, at the press conference, he got a little inside joke with me and Elliott about good players. So I'm sure it's like the first thing he said to him. Yeah. He's like, what changes do you want to make? Like, what kind of players do you want? He's like, good ones.
Yeah, stop drafting the sucky ones.
Yeah, not these ones. Why'd you sign this guy? Why'd you re-sign that guy? Why did you draft this guy? Like, he has a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'm okay with players who can be a bit of an issue. This is what you were referencing before. You treat A.J. Brown different than, you know, player X.
You want to read a book? Read a book.
You treat Drake May different than you treat Joe Cardona. Mm-hmm. Okay? What I don't want is sucky players who also have bad attitudes. I can deal with a really talented player and a borderline attitude. We were talking off air about
a couple, right? Yeah. Like, you have 53 guys. They're not all going to be like choir boys. You have a couple guys that are like maniacs. Fine.
We were talking off air about George Pickens. George Pickens sounds like he's going to be available this year.
Maniac.
Like, I'd take is him. That worth the risk? I'm willing to listen on players like that.
Yep.
You can't have sucky players with bad attitude. No. And that's what they had last year. So Vrabel's here to clean some of that
tough
up.
Combo.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on how to maximize Drake May. We can get more into that. Plus, Mike Vrabel and the impact he's going to make in year one. Where is that going to be felt the most throughout the organization? That's next.
I have been demanding that you be hired for this job for quite some time. Those who were opposed to it would argue that you're a run first and run only guy.
No, our best player was our running back. So
that's what I said.
As you can see, you can see in Baltimore, and you know, so we tried to structure the, you know, the offense. I mean, we tried to build the offense around what we felt like was our best player and what was our strength. And you know, when we did have pieces around Derek that we felt comfortable with, you know, we threw it just as successfully as we ran it, and we were good in the red zone. I felt like we were creative, but that, you know, that you base whatever system and scheme that you have on the players that you have. So
and seems
I do
like
think
this.
There's a lot of versatility in on not only myself, but hopefully that the coaches that we hire.
I know you like that answer from Mike Vrabel to the Greg Hill Show today. You can check out the full interview on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss anything from WEEI, including the Mike Vrabel interview this morning. You can also seek that out on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Keith, you like that answer?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything he's said is pretty excuse me. I don't know what is going on with my speaking voice.
Yeah.
Something is gone wrong. I don't know if I poisoned myself this morning.
You sound, well, there was
something is stuck in my throat.
Not to highlight it, but
it's
just,
not good.
You were dealing with this yesterday, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. It's early in the show. I'll eventually work on it. But
it's going around.
But no, but
things
that
whole thing has been a disaster.
Seriously, I sound like Heyman. No, but that is one of the, when you look at Tennessee and you're like, all right, they had a couple good years of offense and they had the 2,000-yard rushing season from Derrick Henry. And you're like, all right, is he going to come in here and have an offense similar to that where, you know, you have Ryan Tannehill kind of managing those games? They're not going to use Drake May that same way, are they? And he's like, straight up, like, no, our best player was our running back. Of course we're going to run the ball a lot. And then he got into, you know, passing it efficiently.
Yeah, well, and he said this yesterday and this morning. I know he said.
Yeah.
Henry was their best player, but when you say over and over again, you can't throw 50 times, you got to pass efficiently, that sounds like a guy who wants to run the ball. He can deny it, but that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, he does. But if he, and I think he'll very quick, he also talked about how dynamic Drake May is, and maybe even some of the running game involves Drake May, right? And so if you utilize his legs a little bit more.
You can do that?
Yes. I know there's a little bit of infighting as that regards, but no, I think he's going to realize that Drake May is their best player, and they're going to do whatever they can to make him look good. So I wouldn't think it's just going to be the line up and hand it to Derrick Henry 25 times a game type of offense.
What if they drafted a running back? I'm not saying Genty necessarily, but like, what if they, would that make you think differently if they drafted a running back in like round two?
It'd make me feel a little bit differently. However, I was really surprised when the Lions did that, and then they even bring in David Montgomery, and yet they've made it work, and that's actually the offense that everybody like envies. That's
good
the
point.
Offense that we want. So I'd be okay with that.
Good point.
Especially if it's a running back who can catch a few passes, and you have two guys that are, you know, committed and seemingly scoring touchdowns every single week. Like, I think you can make that work.
A lot of suggestions, by the way. Your voice is either Marchand Voodoo and or Curse.
Could be. Maybe he has one of those little dolls.
Or that Courtney poisoned you.
Courtney may have poisoned me. She's not here today. She can't take the blame
right,
for
that's
that.
That's true. That's a good point.
But something is amiss.
On Henry.
Yeah.
He had
a good year as well.
Well, his first year with Mike Vrabel was 2018. That was his third year in the league. Henry actually, believe it or not, when you go back and look at the start to his career, is pretty underwhelming his first 2 years. His third year, he hit 1,000 yards. But you look at the first, 12 games, going into a Thursday night game against Jacksonville where he went nuts. He did not crack 60 yards in any of those games. And there's a lot of games.
What year was this?
This is 2018, Vrabel's first year.
Oh, okay.
He did not crack 60 until he went for 238 against Jacksonville and four touchdowns. Then Derrick Henry kind of turned into Derrick Henry. 170 the next week against the Giants. 84, 93. Pretty much every game the next couple of years with Mike Vrabel, he hit at least 60. He went on to be a 1,500-yard rusher, a 2,000-yard rusher. But right away, Vrabel in that offense, there's a lot of Deion Lewis in there. Derrick Henry didn't crack 60 yards until week 14 against the Jaguars. So, I mean, Mike Vrabel can say, well, yeah, we just tailor-made it to our best player, and I think eventually that happened, 2019, 2020, 2021. I think eventually that happened. That first year, he came in and wanted to run the ball, whether it was Henry or Deion Lewis or whoever.
It was Matt LaFleur year one, too, as the OC.
Correct.
And then Arthur Smith took over, who was on the staff. Then he became the offensive coordinator, and then they really ran like crazy. Also, no surprise to me, 6 years in Tennessee, three of them in the playoffs. So I'd call that three successful seasons.
Yep.
You know who was on the team for those 3 years and none of the other 3 years? A.J. Brown. It all comes back to A.J. Brown. So even if though you weren't throwing it all over the yard, you had a guy that could get it done when you needed him to. As it relates to passing attempts.
Well, and just real quick, Vrabel said this today too. He's like, we want guys who are hard to tackle. And I thought of A.J. Brown. I thought of Deebo Samuel. It's like, and you can throw
even
it down
Jonnu Smith. I know not here, but there was hard to tackle.
You can throw it down the field to A.J. Brown. You can give him 50-yard bombs.
Yep.
But you can also give him a screen.
Yep.
And he can take it 80 yards to the house because he makes one guy miss, he runs over another guy, and next thing you know, he's running away from everybody.
All right, just straight up pass attempts this season by quarterback. And let me know like if you think this was like a good offense, a good plan, or a bad team kind of thing. So from 10 to 1, 10th most passing attempts, Jared Goff.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Good offense. Then Kyler Murray.
Not great.
Nope. Sam Darnold.
Good offense.
Couple playoff teams. Caleb Williams.
Ugh.
Bo Nix.
Eh.
Baker Mayfield.
Good.
Geno Smith. Patrick Mahomes.
Nice. Not his best year, but a good team.
Aaron Rodgers.
E.
Joe Burrow.
Okay. So real mixed bag, to be honest.
It really is.
Honestly, almost back and forth with every other name. I was like, good.
I was going to say.
Good. Bad.
So, like, Josh Allen, who you have as the MVP, Lamar Jackson, who I have as the MVP, weren't in the top 10 this year in pass attempts.
And Goff, which is an offense we love, was 10th. So he's barely in the top 10.
Right. So, like, could Drake May have a Pro Bowl / All-Pro / someday MVP caliber season without being in the top 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in pass attempts? Clearly.
Yeah, that's fine. It might work. I'm not telling you it won't work. Yeah. I'm just saying when Vrabel's like, we just do whatever and we'll throw if we got to throw, when he keeps talking about passing efficiently, that sounds like a guy who wants to run.
I know.
I think that's a fair... It might work. I'm not saying it won't work. I just think that's a fair criticism to say he's a run-first guy. Maybe it'll work.
I think it's easier to be run-first, too, when you have Tannehill and Mariota.
True.
And I think with Drake May, it'll change. Also, who does he have to throw to? Like, if he doesn't have anybody to throw to and he prefers his running backs, maybe we do see that a little bit more. But because he did also talk about being fast, right? So it wasn't just... When Joe Judge took over the Giants, he's like, we're going to play smash mouth football. We're going to punch you in the snout. We're going to keep moving forward. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, that's not going to work.
Right.
Like, that's not how you do it anymore. Like, you want to be physical, obviously, but you can't ignore the dynamic speed that's in the game. And so I think Vrabel embraces that at least.
617-779-7937. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We'll get back into the Patriots. We'll take you around Wild Card Weekend, concluded last night in Phoenix with a blowout win for the Rams over the Minnesota Vikings in a belated edition of What Happened. That comes your way about a half an hour from now. On the way next, let's get to Sam Kennedy. Some comments at Red Sox Winter Weekend at Fenway Park. I think we're going to hold the Red Sox accountable to these comments. That's next.